Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Quick question. Do you remember the line from Snow White where the evil queen says, "Mirror, mirror, on the wall, who's the fairest of them all?" Or what about the Monopoly man? You know, the top hat, mustache, he's got a monocle, right? Except he never had one. And that line from Snow White, it was never mirror, mirror. Thousands of people remember things that never actually existed, which raises a real uncomfortable question. How much of what you remember is actually real? And why are so many people around the world having the same memory? Welcome back to Macabre Mondays, where mystery meets macabre with your favorite Deadly Mary duo. I'm Ale.
And I'm Tom.
Your guides through the strange.
Just happened.
I don't know. Hold
on. Your guides.
Oh, squirrel. Your guides through the strange, the sinister, and the spooky, where I tell the stories and he just gets dragged along for the ride. Fun. Exactly.
It's our dynamic.
Before we get into today's episode, Tom, I need to ask you a question. I'm so excited about this episode, but I need to ask you a question, and everyone that's listening, you guys have to answer too, okay? Because I'm going to need answers. I'm going to need comments. I'm going to need comments from this. Think about the movie Forrest Gump.
Yes.
Right? You know,
Tom, thinking.
Tom Hanks.
Castaway.
He's, Tom Hanks. Yes. Wait, no, you're thinking, I'm thinking Forrest Gump.
I know,
Gump.
I was messing with you, but yes.
Yes.
Box of chocolates.
Box of chocolates, right. What's the most famous line that he says at the beginning?
Life is like a box of chocolates.
What
you're going to get.
He's like, my mama always said, life was like a box of chocolates.
Yes.
You never know what you're going to get.
What you're going to get.
Also, by the way, I've been rewatching that movie and it makes me cry now. I don't know. I love it so much. But anyways.
I mean, to be fair, it was a terrible time for him. He got really just messed up the whole movie.
And Forrest Gump?
Yeah.
Oh, I know. It's just it's
everything
such a,
also, with life just was so tragic with him. And he always had such a good perspective on it, though.
He did. And everything always turned out working out for him. I love Forrest Gump. Okay, so that's the famous line that he says, right? I want to know what everybody thinks. My mama always said, life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get, right? But what if I told you something really weird, that line that everyone remembers is not actually what he says?
What do you mean?
He actually says, my mama always said, life was like a box of chocolates. Not is like a box of chocolates.
See, I never even included is. I always said life is like a box of chocolates.
I know right now you're probably like, where the hell are we going with this episode?
Yes, I am. I think I know where we're going. But let's
get into
it.
Where do you think we're going?
Is it the, what is that theory? I can't think of what it's called. Everyone remembers it one way, and then, for example, the Fruit of Loom was one of the biggest examples of it.
Okay, so we are talking about the mandala effect today,
yes,
everybody.
That's it.
Yes. Now, what I just described to you may sound like a very small difference. I mean, is, was, okay. But what's fascinating about the mandala effect is that millions of people confidently remember that quote the same way that you did. Right? Same way I did. I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
I even, no joke, went back and rewatched the movie again. I was like, all right, pause. Subtitles. Let me see. Because maybe I've been saying it wrong this whole time. And we were. Okay.
Huh.
And that kind of shared memory mistake actually has a name. Now that we know, it's called the mandala effect. It's pretty much just a strange phenomenon where large groups of people share the exact same incorrect memory. And we're not talking about vague memories either. I'm talking about people remember the same spellings, the same logos, the same movie quotes, just like you mentioned Fruit of Looms. That is going to be an example as we keep talking about it. And I'm going to test you guys.
This episode is about to mess me up.
Yes, there are so many. Okay, but when you go back and you go in to check the original source of, I went back to the movie and I'm like, I didn't put this on subtitles. Does he say it exactly like that? But he says, Mama always said life was like a box of chocolates, right? Now it's going to be small, but there's going to be some big ones. There's going to be some big ones, okay? And when you go check the original source of some of these, you end up realizing that it was never that way to begin with. And it's so fascinating.
I'm just waiting for you to throw something bizarre out there, just random. Nixon wasn't even president. Watergate never happened. I'd be, hold up, what?
It's like Watergate was actually spelled with a V, not a W. Like, damn.
The White House is actually painted brown.
Yeah. But with the way that the light hits, it actually plays with your mind.
Imagine.
No, there's going to be some stuff that even when I was researching this, and I always grew up, if anybody's ever heard of the Mandela effect or has heard of the phrase or maybe just has an example, growing up, I didn't even know about this until maybe my last few years here on Earth. I was like roaming and somebody said something and I said, what do you mean?
You were roaming the earth?
One of the times I was roaming the earth and I was telling myself, dude, did you just say that? Because that's not how you say it. That's not how you say it. Well, the phrase and term Mandela effect was first coined around 2009 by a woman named Fiona Broom. Fiona is a paranormal researcher and writer who was attending a conference where people were discussing historical events. During one of those conversations, she mentioned something that she was absolutely certain she remembered. She believed that Nelson Mandela had died in prison sometime during the 1980s.
I won't lie, I thought the term actually did come from Nelson Mandela.
Well, it did. That's okay. Why she coined that. So and I'm going to tell you exactly why she calls it this, right? Because she believed that he had died in prison sometime during the 1980s. Now, for a little context, to be honest, I don't know much history or a lot about Nelson Mandela. No, I don't.
And there's a great documentary on him.
I've got to watch it because I was reading more about him and I'm like, oh my God.
Yes.
Wow. I didn't know that. For a little context, because I even included some information in what I wanted to tell you guys today in today's episode, but Nelson Mandela was a South African political leader who became one of the most important figures in the fight against apartheid, a system that I was reading of racial segregation that existed in South Africa for decades. And he was a huge activist in this fight. And the apartheid, I'm probably saying that wrong, apartheid. And I looked it up. I looked up the pronunciation and it said apartheid. Okay?
What is wrong with however you're saying it?
Apartheid was a government policy that enforced strict racial separation where the country's white minority controlled political power while black South Africans were denied basic rights and freedoms, which I didn't even know that was going on. And I was like, holy smokes, that's freaking insane. But Nelson Mandela became a global symbol of resistance against that system because of his activism. He was arrested and he spent 27 years in prison for it. 27 years in prison. 27.
I know, it's pretty insane.
Just for fighting
his whole story is insane.
Like human rights. It's honestly fascinating. There was a couple quotes that he was saying too that, I mean, you know, I'm a quote girl.
Yes.
I'm a positive quote girl. I love a good quote girl. I mean, I love a good quote.
Affirmations,
quotes.
Hit her up.
The quote that I read of his was, "The greatest glory in living lies not in never falling, but in rising every time we fall."
Ooh.
I know.
That's a good one.
I was like, sir, where do I pay? Where do I pay? Where do I swipe my card? That was so good. That's just me because I love a positive quote. But
I actually also saw the movie that I watched. It stars Idris Elba.
Okay.
And it's called A Long Walk to Freedom.
Oh, I've never seen that.
It is so good. It is so good. It's...
Wow, I've never seen that. I'm going to have to watch that now. I'm going to have to watch that now. But because he spent 27 years in prison, Fiona Broom believed that Nelson Mandela had died in prison sometime during the 1980s. And she didn't just remember hearing that he died. She said she clearly remembered news coverage and tributes and even speeches from his widow after his death. But when she brought this up, other people at the conference immediately agreed with her.
Really?
Yes. Several people said that they remembered the exact same thing that she was talking about. They also believed that Nelson Mandela had died in prison decades earlier. But there's just one problem. He never died in prison. In reality, he was released from prison in 1990 after serving the 27 years. And just a few years later, in 1994, he became the first black president of South Africa. He went on to serve one presidential term and remained a major global figure for decades. And he actually eventually passed away in 2013 at the age of 95.
Wow.
Yeah, so not in prison like everybody thought in the 80s. Like, so many of them were remembering
it. Yeah, which is crazy.
Right, because
that many people got that wrong?
Right, and that's what's so fascinating about this phenomenon, because there is so much. If you're listening right now and you're thinking, wow, I really wonder if you've never heard of this term or whatever, and you're really wondering where we're going with this, I'm going to test you guys. And we're going to see what we get right, what we get wrong, and how we remember things. Because
lovely.
That's one of the main questions, too, is how is it that so many people are convinced that they remember something that never really actually happened? That's just so fascinating. So Fiona Broom began discussing this really strange shared memory online, and she eventually was the one that coined the phrase the Mandela effect.
Where it came from.
Yes. And she used the term to describe situations where large groups of people remember the same event or detail differently from recorded reality. So once people started sharing their memories online, more and more examples began to appear. And there's so many that are still coming out to this day. People realized that they weren't just misremembering Nelson Mandela. They were actually remembering logos, movie quotes, brand names, and pop culture details in ways that didn't match reality at all from what apparently really was out there. And so,
Montauk Project Part 3.
Part 3. Where, you know what's funny? One of the theories of the Mandela effect is that there is something to do with reality. And maybe there's shifts in our reality. Yeah, I'm telling you, after the Montauk Project, that's it. Everything's a conspiracy. Everything is a secret cover up. No. But so as you can imagine, because of this, suddenly the internet had a new mystery. Now, you know, we had Slender Man that grew. You know, we've got the Mandela effect. We've got people sharing. Okay, now at this point, people started asking a very obvious question that, I mean, I also had, was if thousands of people can share the exact same incorrect memory, how does that happen? Is that just a coincidence or is something else?
I think something else.
Something strange going on that we don't really
potentially
know.
Potentially sinister.
Something mysterious, I would say. Well, I was reading into how that works, right? With the memories in our brains, because that's also where this ended up leading me down the hole a little bit. So our brains, from what I was reading, don't really store memories like a video recording. I mean, I think we all wish we could. I bet you probably wish you could, because you'd be like, what does she say again? She's asking me the question that I had answered her 5 hours ago, but I completely forgot what it was she asked me 5 hours ago. So I wish I had this moment recorded, because then she'll know that I really was listening, even though I wasn't. What do I do? A, own it. B, ask her, wait, what was that again that you said? Or C, don't say anything at all. What will Tom choose?
I choose. I remember our anniversary.
What?
Hey.
You're like,
you win some, you lose some.
I love you. You're so funny. You crack me up. Well, they don't store memories like a video recorder, okay? When we remember something, we're not pressing play on a perfectly saved file, if you want to put it that way. Instead, our brains actually reconstruct the memory each time that we recall it, less like watching a movie, but more like you're rebuilding the scene from pieces of your memory, right? Okay, so your brain does remember certain details, obviously, but depending on the importance of them, that's really where this situation lies. And so, yeah.
So is it in my prefrontal cortex?
I didn't go that far. I didn't go that far, baby. We should have one of the things we were talking
about, you know,
a diagram in our videos. Yeah, it's literally in the, and then we still need to get a globe. How many times I'm like, southwest, last, least.
What?
You said east? I thought you said weest.
I can't. No, so I'm not talking about the personal lived experiences that we all have. I'm talking about, like, you know, the ones that really mean something to us. Like, I'm not saying that that's false or what you're remembering is false, because that's not what I'm saying. I'm really talking about the memories that are lesser important things, like the movie lines and logo designs and what color did that t-shirt have, you know, like that stuff isn't as important for you to remember.
Time out, though. The way I understood this,
okay,
the longer I've been married, is that however I remembered it, if it's different from you, I am wrong and you are right. Is that called the wife effect?
Listen, buddy, if I were you, I'd step off that line that you're about to cross. Okay.
I think I'm funny.
You are so funny. You crack me up. But that is the wife effect. That's why there's also a wife tax. Every time you get a piece of
food. That's true.
One or two bites get deducted from your full meal.
I made a slamming BLT today. And my wife took a bite.
I didn't want anything. I was like, no, I'm not really hungry. I thought I was like, wife tax. Wife tax.
Oh, gosh.
So from what I learned, our brains also fill in these gaps when rebuilding a scene using patterns, expectations, and things that just feel familiar. So most of the time, this works incredibly well. But sometimes those gaps get filled in incorrectly. And when that happens, we can form what is called a false memory. It's exactly what you think it is. It's a memory that feels completely real, but it actually is incorrect. Now, this idea has been studied for decades by psychologists, is from what I was seeing. One of the researchers I read about was Dr. Elizabeth Loftus. She's a cognitive psychologist who had spent years studying how easily human memory can be influenced. And in one experiment, one of her most famous experiments, participants watched a short video of a car accident, and then later, the researchers would ask them questions about what they saw, but the wording of the questions was slightly different from each group. So some people were asked, how fast were the cars going when they hit each other? And another group was asked, how fast were the cars going when they smashed into each other? So that one word change apparently was a big difference, because the participants who remembered hearing the word smash, they reported higher speeds. And we're more likely to remember seeing broken glass, even though there was no broken glass in the video.
That's interesting.
Yes. So it's like the suggestibility. You would just assume like their brains had essentially filled in details that weren't there, just because they probably correlate car crash, smashed. You know, I would probably think, oh, that, you know, if I ask you to recreate a scene of a car crash, what would you think?
Destruction, lot of wreckage. Parts all over the ground, right. Broken stuff.
Yeah, broken stuff, exactly. And so the brain essentially fills in the details that aren't really there. Another concept that I saw psychologists were talking about is something called the schema theory. Yeah, schema is basically a mental shortcut our brain uses to organize information. So for example, if you remember a class, why are you laughing?
Because an SEO, that makes sense why they called it what they called it, schema. And I'm going to have to look it up. So in SEO, we have a language that we write up called schema.
Schema
was created by all of the, what?
No, I'm talking to myself. I remembered something that you said, and I said it. It should have been an inside thought, and it wasn't.
So schema was created by all of the search engines. So Bing, Google, all of them got together and created this language. And what it is it's markup that allows us to explain a specific thing so that the search engine can actually digest it and understands this is an author. The name is this. The date is this. This is this. This is this.
That's fascinating. The fact that I'm mentioning that and then, the connection there. Yeah. Wow. Wow, that's interesting. Yeah, because schema, from what I was seeing, is basically a mental shortcut that our brain uses in order to just filter this information and organize it. And for example, if you imagine a classroom, you probably picture things like a desk, a teacher, a chalkboard, an apple, a school bag, a rug, a clock on the wall,
a map.
A desk. I said that already.
A world apple.
A world...
I combined two different things.
I'm rubbing on to you, baby. I'm rubbing on to you. My plan is coming into fruition. No, I'm joking. Lord. So even if someone were to show you a picture of a classroom missing some of those things, your brain might automatically still fill them in because that's what you would expect to see.
To be there, yeah.
Yes. So that's the same thing that happens with logos and movie quotes and character designs and colors and stuff like that. Our brains recognize patterns and sometimes adjust the memories to match what feels familiar. Hmm. Now, I'm not talking about, like, you know, traumatic or real personal lived experiences. I'm just talking about the things that don't really, like, the memories that, you know, oh, you saw, that's so cool. I remember seeing that one day, but it's not something that's going to alter your life
in a
negative outcome. Because I don't want anybody to think that I'm saying your memories aren't real, because they are. And our experiences aren't real.
Or are they?
Stop. No, but like, I just don't want anybody to think that I'm saying, oh, well, your experiences are false. And no, that's not what I'm saying. We're just talking about the small stuff. The thing too is that this doesn't mean that all our memories are unreliable or false, because important emotional memories like major life events or moments that resonate with each person in their own way are going to be a lot stronger. And those you can definitely remember vividly, like you, every time you tell me a story, you can tell me how thin the grass was. You can tell me the fucking precipitation in the air. You can tell me how
it was approximately 46.3% humidity.
No, you really couldn't.
Day.
You're like, dude, there was a crash on highway in 1908. I don't know, something.
It's true.
It's literally something, right? So I'm talking more about the memories that involve the small cultural details, like the logos, the movie quotes, you know, what was that character wearing? Was it a hat or was it? No, that's what I'm talking about. Okay. Those memories are more likely to get distorted over time because they're not important to catalog precisely, which makes sense. Okay. Makes sense. Right. When are you ever going to be in a dire situation where you need to know the Fruit of the Loom logo?
Jeopardy.
You got me there. You got me there. That's a good point. You should. That would suck if you're on Jeopardy and you remember it differently.
The mandala
because they're all about
screws you up.
They're all about, like, you've got to say it the way you've got to say it said. That's literally as simple as that. So when a large group of people grow up seeing the same movies, the same brands, and the same pop culture, these little distortions can start to spread.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly thousands of people are remembering something the exact same wrong way. Which is so fascinating. It is so fascinating. But now that we understand how the memory can work, okay, let's look at some of the most famous mandala effect examples. Tom, I'm going to start testing you. And I want to hear what the listeners also have to say. So please comment down below. Let us know. Reach out to us. Because I would love to hear everybody's answer. If you could remember it the same way, did you remember it differently? And also, maybe there's a mandala effect that I didn't mention that you... No. Share. Huh. Share along.
Interesting.
Are you ready?
Nope.
For the test. More!
Okay.
Tom, what is the famous line from Snow White that the evil queen says? Right off the top of your head, what do you remember?
Something, my precious?
No, that's Enchanted. The evil queen in Snow White, she goes up to the mirror. What does she tell the mirror? She asks the mirror something.
Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest of them all?
Yes. So that's what most people say. That's what everyone says. I've grown up saying, mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest of them all? But in the actual line in the film, it's actually magic mirror on the wall. Who is the fairest of them all? And I'm going to tell you something. Huh. Go to your slides because I was even going back to certain movies to those lines and putting the subtitles on to see if it's actually if the source is actually correct, and it is.
Wow.
So I even looked up the OG movie and then the new real movie.
Okay.
Interesting. You didn't get that one, huh? You didn't get that one.
Well, I got the next
one. You got the next one.
I'll get the next one.
All right. What's the name of the show Carrie Bradshaw is in? The one with the four friends. It takes place in New York. Drama, love. You know this. Carrie Bradshaw.
Friends?
No. That's Ross. That's Monica.
Oh,
that's
Seinfeld? Joey.
No. We're talking about Carrie Bradshaw. You know this one. It's a group of four girls. They got Samantha, Charlotte.
Mean Girls.
No. Listen. Mr. Big.
Oh. They're I don't know that movie.
They're in the city, New York City. Kay. What's the show? What's the name of the show, baby? You know this one.
I know.
It's the four girls. All right, go to your first. Go to your first line.
Oh.
What's that? What's that show's name?
I never watched this.
You know this name.
Wait, do I?
You know this name.
It's not Desperate Housewives.
No, it's not Desperate Housewives.
Oh, I genuinely,
you genuinely don't know? Okay, no. Okay, all right. Well, most people say Sex in the City.
Oh, yeah, I never watched this TV show.
I know you've
show.
Never watched it, but you've seen it, you know of it.
I don't know who's even in it.
We've talked about
okay,
it.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Oh, I bet you wish you had a memory recorder right now, huh?
A mandala effect. In my mind, I don't recall talking about this.
Okay, so most people will say Sex in the City. Is that how you've heard it? That
Sex
you can recall?
And the City.
Okay, well,
is
yes.
That's how I remember it.
So the in reality, the real title is Sex and the City. But there are, I mean, there's everywhere, everyone, even the cast on the show has even publicly said Sex in the City. Everyone on the news outlets and the media
I've heard
covers,
people say that, say but I always just assumed city. It was because they were saying and really quick. Sex in the
Wait,
City.
Which I, yeah, I've seen that too, because I've always said Sex in the City, but then I've seen, I mean, I literally have all the, I have all the seasons on DVD oh. and it, I, they literally say Sex and the City, but there was, I did find something online. I don't know if it was real or not, that there was a perfume for Sex in the City and it actually came out labeled Sex in the City.
That's funny.
Yeah, so it was insane. But that is another big one that a lot of people have that effect because so many people remember it as Sex in the City. Okay, you're definitely going to know this next one, all right?
Okay.
In the theme song from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, how does this start?
A beautiful day in the neighborhood, a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor?
Yes, that's exactly how I remember it. That's how everybody remembers it.
How does it actually go?
It actually goes, it's a beautiful day in this neighborhood. Get the...
No, Mr. Rogers, you're lying to us.
And I even went back. Look at the subtitles, baby.
Get out
yes.
of here.
Yes, isn't that crazy?
I was so religious to watching Mr. Rogers that I no joke... recall the day he died because it got announced on the radio and my mom and I were coming out of Hobby Lobby.
Oh, what a terrible time to have found
I
that
know.
Out.
And
out
then
Hobby
I
Lobby.
Just so happened to work at Vineyard Vines and they actually did a collab with the movie.
Yes, with
and
Tom Hanks.
At the time,
yeah.
I had an opportunity to buy because Vineyard Vines made his famous sweater.
Okay.
And I had an opportunity to buy one, but at the time they were listed at like $160 and I did not.
You're
have
like,
that
I
kind
think
of
I'm
cash.
Okay. I have yeah. a sweater at home. That's yeah. fine. No, that's crazy.
It would have been cool.
One of the things too that I saw was even in the remake of the movie that they made, they actually got the line wrong as well.
Really?
Yeah. So they didn't even say in this neighborhood. They also said it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
Huh.
Just like you and I remember it.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Isn't that crazy? Okay. That's one
what
of the,
a good show, man.
It was a good show. I didn't watch it that much, but I remember seeing it sometimes. And it was
oh,
so,
I watched it all
so
the time.
Feel good. You know what I really liked watching growing up was Bob Ross. So calming. I mean, I was watching him the other day, actually.
I wonder why. You're a creative.
Well, yeah, that's true, too. The next one is really going to throw you for a loops. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, do you know Star Trek?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know it really. I just know specific things. This mm-hmm. was one of the things that I knew. So I learned, all right? What's the famous line that Captain Kirk from Star Trek says when he wants to get teleported? Like he's about to get teleported.
Is this the beam me up?
Uh-huh. What does he say?
Beam me up, Scotty.
Okay. That's what I've always heard. And I knew it was like tied to this. I didn't know all about it. But that exact phrase is actually never said in the original Star Trek series. It's not.
Huh.
It's not said. I even went back and I started watching certain episodes to see where he would have said it. Or I was on like Reddit and I was like,
hold on.
Are you going to call Dad?
I'm calling Dill and going to put him on the spot.
They do say phrases like beam us up, but they've never said beam me up, beam us up, Scotty, or beam me up, Scotty.
You can answer your call right now. Please leave a message. I will get back to you as soon as possible.
Damn.
I just want you to know you just missed out on being on Macabre Mondays live.
Live! So Beam Me Up Scotty was never as, from what I saw, guys, okay? So if there are any Star Trek fans out there and they're gonna be like, that's a lie!
That's why I was gonna call Dill, because
let me know.
My dad,
yeah,
no
he's
joke,
a Star Trek.
Back in the day, they made ornaments even that plugged into your tree, and it was all the different Star Trek ships
that's
and stuff.
Cool.
He had all
of
them.
That's cool. I thought that was interesting because when I saw that line specifically was never even actually said.
That's wild.
Isn't that crazy? All right, the next one. For our Wizard of Oz fans, Dorothy says a famous line after arriving in Oz. After the tornado, what is the famous line that she says to her doggy Toto? What does she say to Toto?
We're not in Kansas anymore.
Yes, that's what I remember. Toto, I don't think we're in Kansas anymore.
Oh, I didn't remember she said, I don't think. Just thought she said, we're not in Kansas anymore.
Okay. All right. That's great. That's cool too. I'm sure there's people out there that remember it like that too.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm wrong, I guess.
But the actual line is, Toto, I've got a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
I'm sorry, what?
I've got a feeling. Ooh. And to the black-eyed children and the kids, the black-eyed peas.
No. I was in The Wizard of Oz asking a munchkin. I don't ever recall that being the line.
I'll be honest with you. That's what the line was. I even looked it up. Toto, I've got a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
No.
I know. You know what's fascinating about this topic is that it really stumps a lot of people because of you just don't remember things. I mean, that's not what I'm trying to say. But what I'm saying is,
shit.
Are we all a part of the Montauk Project?
Oh, my Lord.
The Men in Black, they're erasing our memory. In the 1989 movie with Kevin Costner, one of my favorites that I just recently watched for the first time ever in my life last year.
Let me guess, Field of Dreams?
Field of Dreams, the one with the baseball field. What is my favorite famous quote that he says?
If you build it, they will come.
Well, what if I told you that the actual line in the film is, if you build it, he will come.
I was no joke just thinking that, because part of me was thinking, wait, no, I almost want to say he said he will come
because
he was talking about a
specific baseball player. Yes. Yes, but I also remember, and I just watched it last year for the first time ever, and I'm like in love with it. I want to be decked out in it. I want to look like I'm in that movie, but I just love it so much. And guys, I also just watched Karate Kid for the first time ever the other day. The first time ever. Are you kidding me? I was sleeping on that
Mr.
movie.
Mr. Miyagi just messed her up.
I came out crying. I was literally in tears. But oh my God. And he was like, you know, win or lose, everyone is scared, but you do it anyways. It's so good. Like five words a sentence.
Why do you think the movie Kung Fu Panda, the
I
wise
love
turtle,
Kung Fu Panda, yeah.
A lot of the sayings he says, and even Master,
it's just like
I can't
so
think
wise.
Of the other, I wise. Think he's a raccoon. I can't think of his.
Oh, yeah. Is he a
no,
raccoon?
No, he's a panda, I think.
Oh, maybe
a red
he's a
panda
different,
or something?
Maybe he's a different
panda. I don't remember. The little tiny
yes.
one.
Sensei.
Yes. Master Uwe or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
He has also a lot of lines that are
he
very
does.
Similar to
yeah.
what?
Nah, the Karate Kid messed me up. But the Field of Dreams, yes. Even after watching it, I've always said, if you build it, they will come.
You do.
I randomly say it. I'm like, if you build it, they will come.
You love that movie.
That movie was such a feel-good movie. I loved it so much.
It's also crazy to see him now when we watched Yellowstone. Just kind of weird to see him that way now.
Yo, that's so true. I forgot that he was in Yellowstone. That's so
funny.
Yeah,
the father.
Yep, true that. What's the name of the famous wildfire prevention mascot?
Smokey the Bear.
All right. Well, his official name has always been Smokey
Robert.
Bear. I'm like, actually, guys, his name was never Smokey the Bear. Who the hell's calling
Robert.
Him that? Because his name's actually Demetrius.
What's the line from the Key and Peele skit? Demetrius DeMarcus
the third. Oh, yeah, when they're doing the NFL yeah. parody. That is so funny. No, so his actual name is Smokey Bear. Not the...
Get out of here.
And also, another thing I want to mention is, have you guys seen randomly. Have you guys
the new one?
The new Smokey Bear?
Yo, they made this man.
Yo,
he said I got on steroids. Yo. I'm thick. I'm built.
He said I got hoes in different area codes. No, he looks.
He said built. I want you.
He no, yeah, he's like, I want wildfires. And he gives you like that smoldering look.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh my God, what is going on?
He's not you don't see smoke anywhere else, but they're coming.
They're coming. Honestly, the smoky bear that he is now would definitely be either on The Bachelor or would be on what is it? America's
Next Top Model?
No, no. What's the one about the guys? Like the hot guy or the guy of the year? Don't they do that?
Don't know what you're talking about.
Whatever. But anyways, if he was like a Sports Illustrated model or something. No.
Oh, man of the year.
Man of the year is what I was thinking.
So yes. That's a total different thing. But yeah.
Is that different? Yeah. Okay. Oh, I don't know.
You don't get that just for being good looking. You get that for a bunch of other reasons. Jason Kelsey's won it.
You get that for a bunch of other reasons?
Yeah, man of the year is... Are you meaning sexiest man of the year?
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's a total different thing from man of the year.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. It is the sexiest man alive. Oh, that's what it's called. Sexiest man alive. Mm-hmm. Every year, apparently, they've got one. Anyways, Smokey Bear would be on there. And also the fact that they dropped the. I've always said Smokey the Bear, but his name is actually Smokey Bear.
What up, Smokey Bear?
Smokey Bear. All right.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Think about the Fruit of the Loom logo.
Mm-hmm.
We're in that question. Can you describe how the logo looks?
Cornucopia with a lot of fruit pouring out of it.
Okay. So is the fruit coming out of a cornucopia basket, right?
Yes.
Yes. I thought of it the same way, but in reality,
I already know I'm wrong on this.
The logo has never included a cornucopia. Never.
So there's somebody that actually deep dived and found an old ass shirt that did have
Goodwill or something. Yeah, yes, with the tag. Yes. Which lead that, okay, so that I knew, I was going to mention that too, because I remember seeing that online and somebody said, oh, they're, you know, they're just trying to mess with us or something. I personally always remembered the cornucopia.
I do too.
Yes, I've always remembered that. And one of the theories that I'll even touch upon later is that people think that something's happening to reality, whether it's shifting, you know, little mistakes here and there that we may not notice. There may be a reality shift
Matt
or
Groening,
whatnot.
Stop time traveling to make your Simpson episodes. You are screwing it up.
We just put the cornucopia basket back in the fruits.
Stewie, there's a reason Family Guy has always had Stewie talk about this.
Yeah.
Even if you squish a fly, you screw everything up.
You screw it up. Or what is it? What's the other thing? A butterfly?
Yeah, the butterfly effect.
Yeah, I was going to say, you remember the movie Butterfly Effect with Ashton Kutcher?
Why'd you say it like that?
It's from The Office with Kevin. Oh. He's like, Ashton Kutcher. I always have to say it like that.
Oh, God.
In the movie Risky Business, Tom Cruise is sliding across the floor in his socks and his t-shirt, the famous scene, right? In that scene, is he wearing sunglasses?
I don't think so, no.
Oh, okay. Most people remember him wearing sunglasses.
He's holding, people have changed it because I knew kids that dressed up as him in college. And I remember one of them, I went up to him and I was like, why are you wearing sunglasses? He was like, Tom Cruise wore sunglasses. I said, no. And I remember I showed him the video clip and I was like, look, he literally slides out with no sunglasses. And then I showed him because a commercial made a remake of it for one of the Super Bowl ads. And same thing. They didn't have him wearing sunglasses either for the commercial.
Wow. Interesting.
So I guess I must be one of the select few that remembers it the right way.
I don't think you're part of the Montauk project. Yeah. I think it was like a candlestick or a trophy or something.
It should be a candlestick.
There's a photo. I put photos for you. But the sunglasses is super interesting because if you see anybody's Halloween costume, they've got sunglasses or, but I think it's just, again,
I think
you
it's
just
because
assume
part of his typical outfit throughout most of that movie
has sunglasses. But you see, that's what I mean by just the pattern of your brain is just going to fill the holes of, oh, what else did he have on there? Most likely sunglasses because a part of the movie.
Yep.
So it really just fills in those gaps. It's so fascinating when you see that. Okay, so you know Pokemon, all right? You know Pikachu from Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what color is the tip of his tail?
Black.
No, it's actually yellow. Completely yellow.
Wait, the whole tail's yellow?
The tip of... Yeah, the whole tail is yellow.
You're lying.
I'm not lying.
What's the photo on the left? Because that's how I always remembered him.
Uh-huh, that's what people think. Go to the next one. I put photos. I put screenshots of actual episodes.
Yo.
Yes, of episodes. He's always had a full yellow tail. I thought
that
the same thing, though.
That messes me up.
I thought the same thing is that he had a black tip on his tail. Because that's how I remember it in that photo.
No.
Yeah.
Nah,
isn't that crazy?
You.
Isn't that crazy? Nah, I don't believe you. In Star Wars, what does Darth Vader say to Luke in the movie? What is his famous line?
Luke, I am your father.
Well, he actually...
There's no way that's wrong.
He actually says, no, I am your father.
What? He says, Luke, no, I am your father?
He says, no, I am your father.
He doesn't even say Luke.
He does.
I'm about to do a whole binger, and we're watching from first to the end Star Wars. One, they're a good series.
Yeah, obviously.
But
I mean,
I don't believe this.
I know. All right, the famous children's book series called The Berenstain Bears. How do you spell it?
I don't think I could spell it even if I knew. Bear and then Stein, like
do you, okay,
Albert Einstein.
All right, the Stein part, do you spell it with an E?
No, an I.
Okay, interesting. You may be one of the select few. Well, apparently you actually spell it with an A. It's Berenstain Bears.
Oh.
Why? What were you going to say?
I thought you were meaning the I where that's E-I. I don't know why I got confused there.
It's okay. Don't worry. It happens to,
so yes,
to all of
the
us.
So yes, the left one is how...
How
I
you remember
it
with the E, right?
Yes,
S-T-E-I-N. Well, it's actually S-T-A-I-N. It's actually the Berenstain Bears, not the Berenstain Bears.
English just doesn't make sense. Doesn't follow any of its rules.
Isn't fun. What is the name of that prehistoric family that the husband's always like, yabba dabba doo?
The Flintstones.
Okay. How'd you say that?
Flintstones.
Can you spell it out for me? Can you use it in a sentence?
I don't think I could spell it, but it's like F-L-I-N, F-L-I-N-S-T-O-N-E-S.
S-T-O-N-E-S. Okay, the Flintstones, yes. Well, we've been pronouncing it all wrong. It's actually the Flintstones. Two T's. The Flintstones.
I think I pronounced it correctly. I just spelled it wrong.
Okay.
I really
buddy,
feel
I
like
know.
I said Flintstones.
That's good for you.
Yeah, I did.
Oh,
Flintstones.
Then you did, but you spelled
so
it wrong.
So I'm just spelling it wrong.
So it's actually
even
with
Buddha
two
is,
T's.
Buddha is comforting me right now, letting me know that I was correct.
All right, our last one.
All right.
Our last one here for our little quiz round. Picture Curious George, right? The monkey.
Yep.
Does he have a tail or not?
No.
He doesn't have a tail?
I don't think so.
Is that your final answer?
I'm almost positive that he doesn't have a tail.
He doesn't have a tail. Well, yeah, he didn't. But so many people remember him with a tail.
That just looks weird with him with the tail.
the photo comparison, yeah.
I don't know if anyone else loves Jack Johnson. This is where I learned who Jack Johnson was, because when they made Curious George the movie, Jack Johnson did the whole entire soundtrack for it.
Oh, really?
Yes. And
I'll
I was obsessed with the movie and the soundtrack.
I've never seen any of it.
Oh, you're going to cry. I know of it. You are going to cry. Dude, we are watching it tonight.
You guys are killing me.
No, we are watching it tonight.
With the Karate Kid, messed me up. Then you guys had me watch Shawshank Redemption.
This is the cutest. It is the cutest freaking movie you will ever watch in your life.
I couldn't even make it past Winnie the Pooh, the real version.
I love Winnie the Pooh, man.
Are you kidding me? I made it 10 minutes. And then when they found, when pretty much Christopher left and they were, I was like turning that off. I have no, that's no business. My name should not be anywhere near.
Winnie the Pooh is the OG best. He is the OG.
That's Mr. Rogers. That's your babes.
It is.
You love that boy.
I love him.
That's your bud.
If I could go to the 100 Acre Woods, I would.
I know you would. Well, here's a weird thing about these things is that some people even remember certain people passing at different times when they really didn't. Neil Armstrong is one of them. He died years earlier than he actually did. But in reality, Neil Armstrong, who was the first man to walk on the moon, passed away in 2012. But so many people think he passed away 20 years ago.
Hold on. Picasso is another one.
Yo, Picasso.
Did you guys all know that Picasso was alive when we were alive? He was painting these famous paintings in the 80s.
He died on my birthday.
What?
That is what? April 8th of 1973.
That, I thought he was painting it in the, he was alive in the 70s. I don't know. Whatever. I just didn't realize he had been alive.
Oh, you're saying that
recent.
When we were alive. Yeah, yes. That's what was so fascinating when I found that out too.
Yes. Because I thought Picasso, I'm like Van Gogh, Da Vinci.
Yeah, like
he's 1800s.
Monet. Yeah, you
he's
think
over here
that.
Driving like a Ferrari and some shit probably.
Well, look, when did Da Vinci die? In 1519. That's what I thought. Yeah, that's what I thought Picasso was doing. You know, another one that I thought was super interesting is Albert Einstein.
Yes, Einstein was actually alive very recently.
He died in 1955.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. In Princeton, New Jersey.
Yes. Yeah! He was... Why'd you just do the Einstein look?
That's exactly what I was doing. It was a tick I had to do.
That one is actually insane. If anyone's not seen the movie Oppenheimer, 10 out of 10 recommend, but make sure you watch it with some solid surround sound.
Good.
That actually really helps bring light to how recent Einstein was around.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's you know?
So true. Well, it's funny too, because in Oppenheimer, the timeline around that time that they are talking about, you know, the atomic bomb was it that they were creating? One of the bombs actually correlates with the Montauk Project area. Is that everything's connected? Here goes a Charlie from Always Sunny in Philly. And I'm just like, crazy. So if you got some of these wrong, don't worry, because as you saw, most people remember it the same way, except for Tom for two of them, which you were two of the few. No, but I'm curious to see how many other people remember it that way too, because a lot of them, I was like, wait, no, I don't recall that. The other one is Coca-Cola. Does Coca-Cola have a dash or not?
No.
It does have a dash.
What?
Yes, it does.
No.
Here you go. There's a dash.
Oh.
In between Coca y Cola.
I see.
But nobody remembers that. Not a lot.
They also made it the world's tiniest little dash ever.
But so many people even say that they thought from everything that I was reading and watching, a lot of people say that they remember it being like maybe a squiggly line. You know, maybe it's some type of added effect to the font, to the typeface that they use.
I mean,
but they don't remember a dash.
I will say the way that the logo looks, that looks correct to me.
Yeah.
I just would have never thought that was the dash. Yeah.
But so many people are like, that's not a dash. Like, no, it doesn't have a dash.
I agree.
And it does.
I agree. The way you guys type that up, that doesn't look like a dash. That just looks like a random ass boop.
But honestly, exactly. And then like thinking about all this, if so many people are remembering the same details the same way, why does our brain just keep doing these things wrong almost, right? Not in like a bad way, but from what I was reading, psychologists say that a lot of it comes down to how our brains are designed to recognize patterns.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you might find this very interesting because you're such a pattern person. You're really good at those like tests and and games or whatever, but our brains are constantly trying to make sense of the world as quickly as possible. So instead of storing every tiny detail perfectly, the brain often fills in missing information with what feels logical. So psychologists sometimes refer to this as priming. And again, this is just the research I'm doing. I don't want a psychologist coming in the comments like, well, that's not true. Let me know, girl. I don't know, or boy. I don't know. But priming simply means that when we hear or see something, it automatically activates related ideas in our brain. So, for example, if someone says the word sky, your brain might immediately start thinking of words like clouds and stars, blue, plane. Mm-hmm. And the bird, right? Your brain connects things that feel like they belong together. And that same thing can happen with memories. So take the Monopoly Man, for example. Most people remember him wearing a monocle. That's how I remember him, is wearing a monocle.
I remember the Pringles guy wearing a monocle.
Okay, but the Monopoly Man, I remember him wearing a monocle.
I don't remember him wearing a monocle.
Really? Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that's how I always remembered him. That was one of the ones that I remember when I saw. I was like, nah, that's a lie. He always had a monocle. Yeah, no,
I know the Pringles guy always has had one.
What about the Mr. Peanuts guy? Hold on.
Is it the Mr. Peanuts guy that I'm thinking of? No.
Mr. Peanuts got a monocle.
Oh, maybe it's Peanuts?
The Monopoly Man.
Hold on, I'm looking at the Pringle. No, it was the Mr. Peanuts guy.
Pringles ain't even got it.
Yeah, it was the Pringles.
He just got a big stash.
It was the peanut guy I was thinking of, not Pringles.
Okay.
My apologies.
Well, the Monopoly Man, most people remember him wearing a monocle, but he actually never had a monocle. And when you look at that type of example, it kind of makes sense why people would remember it that way, because think about how the character looks.
How he's dressed.
He's got money. He's got a top hat. He's got a cane. He's got a bow tie. He looks like he's in a formal suit. I would throw in a monocle because that seems like it's going to complete the fit of rich white man playing Monopoly, right? So that, and in pop culture, characters like that often wear monocles, right? True. How many times do we see that in movies? If you like old timey movies that, you know, of the rich, they've got a monocle on or whatever. So our brain quietly fills in that missing detail because it fits the pattern. But then you have another thing that can influence memory, and it's called suggestibility.
I've heard of this.
Yeah. So this means that the way a question is asked can actually change how people remember something. So, for example, imagine someone were to ask you, did you take the green book from the shelf? You're already going to think and suggest that there's a green book that exists, so you'll see it. But if someone were to ask you, did you take anything from the shelf? It could be anything but a green book, right? So that's just a much more open-ended question. The first version plants that very specific idea in your mind, and then research has shown that when questions contain suggestions like that, people can start to maybe incorporate those suggestions into their own memory. And so over time, maybe those suggested details can start to feel like something you actually remember.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always heard mirror, mirror on the wall. I've heard everyone else also say that. So I'm like, yeah, that's literally how you say it, because I've heard five other people say it. You realize that's really not the case.
Yeah. It's almost like the game of telephone, though.
Yes, it's almost like a game of telephone, for sure. Very true, very true. And another thing, too, that I was reading is that emotions can play a role. So when a major world event happens, large groups of people often experience the same emotional reaction. And so those emotions can actually influence how the memories are formed. So over time, people may remember the feeling of the event correctly, but it makes them misremember the details. And from what I was reading, some of the researchers believe that might help explain the original Mandela effect example involving Nelson Mandela, because Nelson being imprisoned and he was an activist and he had such a powerful global impact, some people may have mentally connected his story with the idea of him dying in prison as a martyr for the cause because he was this activist.
I see.
So they probably somehow connected the two there, even though it never actually happened. I feel like that might make sense
because I distinctly remember the day of 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
The way I remembered it, and I think I've told you this before, I remember my mom having the TV on at home.
Yeah.
And I distinctly remember thinking that it was pollution.
Oh.
I thought they were showing heavy pollution in New York City.
Okay.
Because when I finally was seeing it, it was when everything the towers had collapsed. So everything was all the dust.
Yeah.
And I thought it was pollution. But my mind, probably as a kid, the only things I had heard about New York City was it's very polluted.
Pollution, yeah.
Terrible right. air quality. So I think subconsciously I naturally associated that.
Right.
And no joke, until
wow.
we were watching and then I saw the actual plane hit. That was when it actually clicked and right. I realized what had happened.
Right, right, right. Exactly. Because that's now, yeah, ugh, that's crazy. Yeah, I remember 9/11. That was so crazy. But yeah. So that's interesting, right?
Yeah.
And so when you combine things like pattern recognition, the suggestion, and the false memories, and then those shared cultural experiences, you can really start to see how thousands and maybe even sometimes millions of people are remembering the same incorrect detail. Now, these are small. These are small, but it's just fascinating in itself that there is a massive amount of people remembering things the same way. I'd be so curious to hear from you guys to see if you guys did remember things the way that most apparently do, or the way that it originally was from the actual source.
I'll be honest, anyone that remembers Curious George with the tail,
Y'all are weird.
Y'all are weird because he looks so odd having a tail.
I mean, when I saw it, I've never really watched him. I thought he looked weird without a tail.
Yeah, I think because I loved watching it.
Well, yeah,
so
you
I
watched
him,
so you knew this. Yeah, but to me, I'm like, well, you, but again, I would assume, I always thought he had a tail because I'm like, he's a monkey. Monkeys have tails. So here I go suggesting
because
that fits the pattern.
Typical on the pattern. Yeah.
That fits the pattern. You normally see when you draw a monkey or think of a monkey, I always think of a monkey with a long tail. That's usually the thing. But for a lot of people online, these type of explanations of, you know, it's probably just the mind aren't satisfying enough. And here's where we get into theories.
Ooh,
theories. Theories, okay? Because, yeah, maybe there are thousands of people that remember the same thing incorrectly, but that can maybe start to feel like reality itself may be shifting. Maybe there are stranger explanations to these phenomenons than we can just think it's probably just all psychological, right? Things like parallel universes, altered timelines, or maybe even a simulated reality. And here's where things get a little weird, right? Because over the years, a few different theories have popped up to try to explain this phenomenon. And to be clear, these are theories, okay? Mainly from the internet, from what I could find. Because they've become a huge part of the mandala effect conversation. One of the most popular theories involves the idea of parallel universes. And this idea suggests that there could be multiple versions of reality existing at the same time. In some of those alternate timelines, certain details might just actually be different. Maybe in one universe, the Monopoly Man did wear a monocle. Maybe in another timeline, the movie quote really was mirror, mirror on the wall, right? And according to this theory, some people believe that the mandala effect might happen if reality somehow overlap or shift, causing memories from one timeline to appear in another. So again, we don't really know if that's really happening, but again, we didn't really know that aliens were real. We also didn't know that mind control was real.
Very interesting.
Very interesting, right? But it is one of the reasons that the mandala effect fascinates so many people because have you seen the movie, what is it? Everywhere All at Once?
Yes.
Right? That's such a good movie to describe that whole parallel universes and everything. So in reality, could it be that? Could there be a shift? Who knows? But another theory people talk about is timeline alteration. And this theory suggests
damn
that
time travelers.
It's the Simpsons guy.
Matt
He's
Groening.
Messing it. He's messing with it. But this theory suggests that something in the past may have changed the course of the history of, you know, our history. And sometimes people speculate about things like time travel or unknown events that might have altered historical details. So in this scenario, if you think about it, people who remember the old version, quote unquote, might simply be remembering the timeline before it just changed. So maybe they are not wrong after all. And like you said, when I saw the Fruit of the Loom cornucopia, because I saw the same video you're talking about. Some guy said
He was showing it.
It was in the video and he was showing the t-shirt tag on this t-shirt and it had the cornucopia with the like fruit coming out of the cornucopia.
The only thing I can think of is imagine.
Oh God, what?
Imagine, you know how they do knockoffs of, for example, Air Jordan knockoffs.
I bootleg it.
One of the biggest things for to know if it's an Air Jordan knockoff is Michael Jordan's hand.
Oh, it's his posture, right? Yeah.
His hand at the bottom is a fist instead of being open. Because the actual image is supposed to be him with his hand open he's dunking the ball. So the fastest way to see if it's a fake is that if it's a fist.
Okay.
So imagine it's that. It's a knockoff Fruit of Loom, but they did the cornucopia just to be able to make money.
That'd be funny. Oh, but I don't, Joe, you got me messed up. Yeah, it's like when you, back in the day, we used to buy those bootlegged DVD burners because somebody would go to the movie theater and record.
Never bought any of those.
Well, yeah, well, you didn't buy them, but you saw them, you know?
I never even saw them. I'm sure people did that out there.
Yeah,
but
well, you remember how people did that? Yeah, did that.
FBI clearly gave us big warnings on every film that's illegal.
Yeah, for real. Seriously. It's
yeah,
so bad.
I definitely
so
never did that.
So bad, so bad.
LimeWire? So, what's that?
This theory, though, it does sound sci-fi, of course, but it's just a theory that shows up in a lot of the Mandela Effect discussions online from what I was seeing. A third theory comes from something called the simulation theory. Now, this is just more of a philosophical idea that reality itself could be some kind of advanced simulation.
I know where you're going with
okay?
this.
Okay, in this theory, the Mandela Effect are sometimes described as glitches in the system, which, by the way, I've never seen The Matrix.
Oh, my Lord. I forget about that. Yes, we have to watch that. I can't believe you saw all the John Wicks and Ballerina.
I did those against my will. I was held against my will.
Hold the phone up. But don't you think it's a damn good series?
Oh, no, it was so good. I mean, I'm never opposed to watching any type of movie. I mean, I watched Karate Kid the other day. Okay.
That's true.
I'm not opposed to any movies. It's just that I forget. But there are so many classics out there that I have not seen. After Shawshank Redemption, you know, so many people after that episode, they were like, you've never seen Shawshank Redemption?
I don't know if
it's one of my favorite movies now.
I don't know if this is for sure the movie. Hold on. I'm going to look it up.
What's the movie?
That's it. There's a movie that I'm going to have you watch that is phenomenal.
What is it?
Great classic called Secondhand Lions.
What the hell is that?
Oh, it is amazing. It is a great damn
movie. We'll watch that, but then you have to watch Rosemary's Baby with me.
We have to watch Curious George and Secondhand Lions, and you got to end up watching Star Trek and The Matrix.
Oh, my God. Star Trek, I don't think I can do it. That's going to be too long.
For me, I only have scary movies that I've not seen. You have classics that everyone has seen.
Hey, I'm working on it.
You uncultured swine.
Aw, no, I've seen Charlotte's Web. I used to love the movie Babe. Dude, I would come home every day from school, and I would come home and watch Babe. And then when it was Halloween season or just spooky autumn season, I would come home and watch Scary Godmother. Have you ever heard of? Have you ever watched Scary Godmother?
I've never watched it, but I know what you're talking about.
I love that girl. I loved her. But anyways, the simulation theory, okay? In this theory, they just describe it as glitches in the system. Small details like logos and quotes might appear to change if something in the simulation is updated or altered. We're all just a part of a big game. And again, we don't know if this is actually happening. We don't really know. There's nothing really scientific proving that it's actually happening. But the idea has captured a lot of people's imaginations because it taps into the feeling that something about these memories, mismatches, are feeling very unsettling. Mm-hmm. And you know what? The simulation theory, sometimes I do think about it because just in everyday life, how many times do you guys walk into a store empty? Parking is a wide array of parking outside. Do whatever you want. You walk into the store and out of nowhere, 15
Everyone.
Other people walk right Boom. In behind you. And it fills up the store. And it looks like you just came at the busiest time of the day. Isn't that interesting?
It also makes me feel so bad because I'm like, did all these people think I'm going to pass this store or I'm going to pass this restaurant? Then they saw me going, well, if that fine looking gentleman's going in, if it's good enough for him, it's got to be good enough
for me. I mean, it could, but there's no way 15 people are thinking like that. 100%,
babe. Yeah. I am a good looking man.
No, 100%,
people are
going to
take
baby.
My opinion very serious.
You're the most handsome Bo Bansom.
Exactly.
No, but isn't that crazy? If you guys haven't experienced that, you know what? You have experienced that. You probably just haven't noticed. Next time you go somewhere, just notice. See how many people are in there and see how many people end up fucking coming in and they start placing an order. And then you could tell the workers are like, oh, beep boop. They've been like rebooted because they're like, it's time to, the NPCs are like, time to make my.
Rebooted.
Time to make my cappuccino. Beep boop boop. Yeah, literally write down the name on the coffee order. But anyways, it is just very fascinating. So most scientists say that the mandala effect is just how the memory works. You know, our brains just don't store memories perfectly. Details can blur, patterns fill in the gaps. And sometimes we remember things that maybe just never actually were. Okay. But whether you think it's psychology or something stranger.
Montauk Project.
Yeah, I mean, after the Montauk Project, who knows, right?
Aliens are we all on LSD?
Are we all getting microdosed without realizing it? Who knows? It's still a pretty fascinating phenomenon, and it's going to be categorized as strange. So let us know what you guys remember, or if there were any other moments where you caught yourself quite really questioning what the hell you even remembered or how you remembered it.
Facts.
So fascinated to find out. I thought this was so interesting. I'm curious to see what your dad's gonna say. In the show Star Trek, what does Captain Kirk say? What is his famous line?
Make it so, Scotty.
What does he say about beaming?
Beam me up, Scotty.
Okay, did you know that he actually never said that?
I call bunk on that.
He actually never said, beam me up, Scotty.
In my mind, he said, beam me up, Scotty.
Okay? We just covered an episode, and it's called the Mandala Effect. Have you ever heard of it?
I don't recall. You gotta remember, I'm old. Okay, you'll point that out.
Wait till you listen to the episode, but I'm going to put this audio in because we were mentioning in the episode about all Star Trek fans. Let us know if this is true, but it is true. I just want to hear it from the fans, is that he actually never said, beam me up, Scotty.
So who was it? Was it Spock that would say, beam me up?
He would say, beam me up, but he never said the phrase, beam me up, Scotty, like everyone remembers.
Well, you know, it was implied.
I agree.
And when you're impressionable young people, you understand what he meant, okay? It's the unspoken word that causes us to act like we do.
It makes sense. Well, the mandala effect is, it's this phenomenon where a large amount of people remember the same incorrect memory. And that's one of the examples.
So I'm no longer a minority? I'm with the majority.
You're with the majority.
Because even I said it. I said, Dad always loved Star Trek. I said, he even had all the Christmas ornaments for the tree. I said, it was Beam Me Up, Scotty. There's no way it wasn't.
They never said that in any of it. And I looked up some of the episodes to see if it popped up, and it never popped up. But again, I'm not a fan, so I don't know.
Well, there's another thing. What happens when they need to go someplace? Who does he usually talk to?
Is it a Spock?
No. Who is the one that piloted?
Ali's never seen any Star Trek.
I've never seen all of them.
Oh, honey, what is wrong with you? I've got so much to teach you. I got to teach you the stuff before I forget it all. Because evidently, I don't remember it anyway.
Hey, I just watched Karate Kid for the first time this past weekend.
Wax on, wax off. I got that right.
That is right.
You're going to love the episode. It's so funny.
Sweep his leg.
I can't
about
wait.
The Star Trek. Also, cannot yes, wait. If you are a Star Trek lover, or you know someone who is a Star Trek lover, ask them that question. Do they really say, beam me up, Scotty?
Yeah. Ask them all of these. Maybe yeah, we'll even post them as like a story poll thing to see which ones you guys choose.
I was planning on it. I was planning
on it. I had a feeling.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're the creative. I'm just me.
Thank you guys for joining us today on Macabre Mondays. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you know more about today's episode or call to detail we might have missed, let us know.
And we'd also love to hear from you. If you have a story that's strange, sinister, or downright spooky, doesn't matter how small you think it might be, please send it our way. You can email us at macabremondayspodcast@gmail.com or head over to macabremondays.com and submit your story. Yours just might be featured in an upcoming listener episode.
Follow us on social media by searching Macabre Mondays for photos of today's episode, updates, and a little extra spooky fun. We'll see you next Monday for another sinister, strange, and spooky episode. Stay tuned. More mystery is just around the corner. But until then, stay curious and stay safe, friends.
Deuces.
Bye.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.